Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So the news of the day locally is Lance McCullers trade for the Brewers. He had a no-trade clause, so he had to waive it. He made that decision to go to Milwaukee. I wonder how many other teams he would have waived it for. John and Lance told us that he had heard earlier but kept to himself because what good is he? Like, I know it's not LeBron, it's Lance McCullers, but LeBron will have, like, a guy who's a trainer, that's not even his trainer, reveal that he's headed back to Cleveland. Not this time around, the first time. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if any trainer said anything. I know a bakery owner said he's headed back to Cleveland, I guess, based on some order or whatever, but A random trainer that you wouldn't believe because you're like, how do you know? You don't know. At the time, you're not Woj. You don't know that. You don't have sources. How would you know? That guy turned out to be right. There was also, I remember, people who were on LeBron Street in Miami who saw moving trucks at the time. They posted those pictures and were like, look, see, he ain't staying. He's gone. It turns out they were right. John, a respected, not by me, but by others, a respected radio professional has word that there is a trade in the works for Lance McCullers, and he said he heard the Yankees, but he didn't give that to us before. After McTaggart said it, he's telling us. After Nightingale said it, he's telling us. That man could have had, you know how I had, for people who don't know, there was a video from me yesterday talking about C.J. Stroud. If John tells everyone that McCullers is going to be on the move, that's what we're looking for. That's what our social media people are looking for. You put that on YouTube, you put that on Twitter. That's the type of thing we want. Instead,
no, I didn't want to say nothing.
What? That's a guy who's comfortable in California and knows he's got golf on the horizon. We could have had McCullers to the Yankees. Or McCullers to the Brewers. Instead, Nightingale and McTaggart broke the story. That was an opportunity missed. But McCullers goes to Milwaukee. I still have not seen anything about the Astros getting anything back. And maybe there just won't be anything, as the Brewers will be paying, I would hope, the rest of that contract. We'll see what deal was struck to get that done. So McCullers out. And maybe he gets to help a team who has real title aspirations again while the Astros are in a race, but some real concerns about their viability if they even did make the playoffs as they try to make their own moves to add to the roster. Maybe getting Lance McCullers off the books helps get something done for them in the next couple weeks. All right, the World Cup. I got home, watched that game, and people are calling Spain suffocating. I heard, I think Glenn Davis say it's like a python. When he joined John and Lance earlier, a python suffocating an animal. And as I watched that game, there were minutes that would go by that I would look down at my laptop while the game was going on and not look up because Spain had such firm control. France, how dynamic they had been throughout the tournament. None of that really existed. They couldn't put passes together. Spain dominated them in the midfield. And for as much as the goal scorers get credit because they can turn games, if you can control the midfield, you pretty much win the game. And Spain did that throughout. They got fortunate because of an accidental kicking. It wasn't incidental contact. It was a full-on blow to Yamal, the kick by Digne. But he didn't see him. He didn't know Yamal would even get to the ball first. He did, and it's a clear penalty. I mean, we can debate if a penalty in that circumstance should be called because of how much it influences the game. But the rules are the rules, and that's a clear penalty. And the Americans who tried to Americanize the game of soccer were roundly told to shut up after that call. Everyone's like, hey, shut up. Just be quiet. Stop. We don't get involved in your rules. You stay out of ours. You watch the game and you stay silent. It's pretty much the reaction by a lot of people when you had certain American pundits, and not soccer pundits, just people who are now watching the World Cup because it's what's on, discuss why that penalty wasn't valid. It was valid. Spain put it away, and France didn't have any answers. Their star Mbappe talked about it after the game. Tactically, they were outmatched. He took on the blame as far as the player, saying we weren't good, we were sloppy, but also he had a problem with how they were set up. And it's about that midfield, how Spain had more people in the midfield, and it led to them being able to control the game, and France never getting their bearings and starting to dictate. They got more on the ball late as Spain was protecting a 2-goal lead, but they never really provided big chances. There was one where Cucurella, the Spain defender, got a foot on the ball before Mbappe could unleash in the box that would have maybe made it 2-1, but that was about it. It was a masterclass by what may be the best team in the world. They'll get a chance to prove it on is it Sunday? Or Saturday. They'll get a chance to prove that Sunday against Argentina or England, who have a long history of playing each other. Argentina generally coming out on top in the biggest matches, the World Cup, and these are matches that are defined by controversy. You go back to 86, hand of God goal by Maradona. Clear handball, but we don't have video review back then or just an alert official that leads to a Maradona goal and an England loss. And then you go back to, was it 98, where I think Beckham was tossed out of a World Cup game for a red card. That one, I believe, ended in penalties. I still remember Andres Cantor, who will be calling the game for Telemundo, calling that game back then in France 98. So there's a history of English failure against Argentina, and Argentina would like that to continue today. AJ, I've thrown this out here. I don't know how much do you know about this Argentinian squad, about how they're winning. People consider them to be getting favoritism from FIFA, all that stuff, you know?
Seen some stuff about it, yeah. And then also I've learned recently, too, about the racism factor of Argentina,
There's
too.
A thing there, too, yeah. Most recently, a song they sang in 2024 about the French team, even though they weren't playing the French team. And then if you just – look, I said it earlier this week. Do your research. Argentina's not alone. You can go through a lot of this world's history and find incidents. It's unfortunately part of the human condition. But Argentina has a bit of a history there. But they – at least for me, are the chiefs of world football. That's how they're perceived for an American audience who may not know. All the things that people said about the Chiefs in 2024, that's what's being said about Argentina just from soccer fans instead of NFL fans. So if you're looking to orient yourself about, if you're deciding you're going to watch these semifinals because you know about Messi and you know about England and you've got a World Cup semifinal in the middle of the afternoon you want to take a look at. I don't know that there's a real comp for an NFL team for England, but for Argentina, if you did not like the 2024 Chiefs, you have your version of them in Argentina. So you can root, if you need someone to dislike so you can have some real stakes if you're not betting on it, there it is. And if you didn't like and if you didn't dislike the Chiefs, you got your Mahomes comp in Messi that you can root for if you want to do that. I watch these games, and yes, Argentina packs the house. They're on the streets of Atlanta having what would you call it, a celebration yesterday. They're going to meet an English fan base who's desperate for this team to get back to a World Cup final. Haven't been to a World Cup final since the one they won, I believe, in 1966. So Argentina expects to make another final. England is hoping, at least the fan base is, because it hasn't been done. And England's a slight favorite because of how Argentina has played. We'll just see how it plays out. I thought France would be the Eagles. Like, just man for man, the best players in the world together. But it turns out the collective of Spain, much better. The comp I used this morning was, and this is what Thierry Henry said, that all these Spanish players have been playing this way since they're like 9 years old. It's the way Spain plays football. Like, in this country, there's no set way that the country plays soccer. Like, the U.S. national team isn't an embodiment of the entire country and how they play. Depending on who you play for or what, whether it be a college or a club team, no one just plays a certain way and the whole country adapts. That's what it is in Spain. Like, I think Mbappe said it was like playing Barcelona. There is a heavy influence of Barcelona players on the team, but that's just how Spain plays soccer. That's how they want to play soccer. And it starts at the youth level. So my comp was like Katy football. And other high school programs do this too, where the same system when you're a youth player until you get to high school. And this was how it was described maybe 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if Katy still operates that way, but everyone plays the same way. So when it's your time to be at the highest level, you're going to play that way and be used to it. You can be inserted into a spot and know exactly what the other guy is going to do because you've been playing this way your entire life. Countries have identity. Spain clearly has one. And now they get to try to go win a World Cup. Again, they are the European champions. They're going to try to become the world champions. And they haven't been to a final since 2010 where they won it against the Netherlands. We'll see if it's England or Argentina. Either way, you're going to have some history. And we'll see how it plays out. That is in Atlanta today. I think I'm tired of watching Argentina win. I think that's where I've been that way for a while. I thought, as I said, I thought France would end their run. I don't know that there's a real comp. As I said, Spain may just dissect them and dominate the midfield, which is where Argentina's getting a little older. And they haven't been particularly great. I want to see if this Argentina run is purely based on who they played. Like, they played Switzerland. That game was 1-1 until the two yellows made the red for Mbolo, and it changed the complexion of the game. And even still, it took till, I think, the second half of extra time for Argentina to find the winner, and then they tacked on another one. This is the strongest side they've played, this English team. Taylor Twellman pointed out that whoever meets Spain in the final will have a distinct disadvantage because of how often Spain has been able to play indoors. Six of their seven games have been climate controlled, whereas we know England played in Azteca and then played in Miami, two draining environments. And Argentina, while not as nuts as playing in Azteca, they did play a game in Miami against Cabo Verde, and that went to extra time. So whoever wins is going to be not only at a rest disadvantage because Spain will have won their game a day earlier, they have just not played in the type of environments that the others have. So will the other two, whoever wins, adapt better to playing outdoors in New York? Turns out it won't be 100 degrees, at least not temperature-wise. It'll be 88. That's the high for New York on Sunday. Who knows what it'll be as far as on-field temp. It'll be higher than 88. But if you're like Payne, you're looking to make a bet, then you believe wear and tear is going to matter. A day later for a game, and if it goes extra time, certainly benefits Spain. And also Spain has, or at least should have, the fresher legs. They have simply not had to deal with the environments that these other two teams have had to deal with. I don't have any particular fondness for England, but if I have to pick one, get Argentina out of here. I would want them to lose in the final, but I can't guarantee that. So whenever the loss comes, let it happen. And if it has to happen today, I'm with it. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. You're welcome to call in 713-780-3776. We've got some food issues, not me specifically, but the country does. Apparently fresh produce, maybe stay away from it for a little bit. That's the warning. And also, some good news. If you like a certain mid-tier Italian establishment, I've never been. I'll ask AJ if he's been. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
587-800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
This is the Del Oralea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Oralea.
So, AJ, what do you know about Olive Garden?
I mean, I've went there various times throughout my life. Yeah,
this is not me shaming anyone who's gone, because that pops up for people. I'm not shaming you if you like breadsticks or other things.
This I don't like breadsticks.
This isn't about that. It is about the story that the never-ending pasta pass is back. For the first time in 6 years, Olive Garden's bringing it back. And what that means is, if you spend $100, you get unlimited pasta dishes for 13 weeks with no limits on visits. You can go there every day for 13 weeks, and the pasta is unlimited. As I said before we went to break, I've never been to an Olive Garden.
Really?
No, it's just not something I love Italian food, but my family wasn't really a fan. My mom or my dad weren't really Italian food people, so it wasn't even a thought to go. We usually went to a Mexican food place. If we were going out to eat, it was Mexican food in Southern California. Tex-Mex was the thing. It was their food of choice when we went out. Or a Red Lobster. The Red Lobster was a thing as well. But Olive Garden Italian food was never a part of the equation. So I've never been, and as an adult, never had a reason to go. But maybe I do now. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, okay, it's $100, but you get your choice of all the pasta you could have. How many trips would I go to in 13 weeks to make it worth my while? Because that's the problem for me. I don't want to feel like I'm obligated to have to go to this Olive Garden. I don't want to feel like I have to go to this restaurant to make this deal work out. Of course, you're taking people, whatever. It won't take that long. But maybe you're just a person who wants to go to Olive Garden by yourself. I'm sure they have takeout. You don't have to sit there. You can do that too. How many trips would I make? I would feel obligated to at least get to $100. That's what I spent. But if you really want to get your value, you gotta do more. You gotta get over 100. What's the proper amount before it's like, all right, enough of Olive Garden? Do you want to get to $200 worth? Like, I'll ask you, do you think you could get to $200 worth of Olive Garden by yourself in 13 weeks?
No.
I don't know that I could. It would have to be, I'd have to be pressed into doing it, like forced to, because I have that $100 value, or in this case, I need to get $200 hanging over my head. And I don't want to feel like I got to get, I don't even know some of their dishes. Let's go with just spaghetti. That's the basic one. I don't know if I want to have different versions of pasta and be feel forced to get my money's worth. So there it is, everybody. If you were holding out to go to Olive Garden until Never Ending Pasta was back, it's here. 13 weeks worth for $100. Get all the pasta you want. If you want to shut down an Olive Garden, make them regret ever giving you the chance, you can do it. And shout out to Olive Garden for bringing back something they probably, at least for the consumer, never want it taken away. And it begins tomorrow. Begins tomorrow. When you can get the pass. And then I believe the promotion begins on August 24th. So it's like the McRib. It's not here forever. But it is from August 24th to November 22nd. Get ready. If you want a carbo load, now is your opportunity. We got a couple of things to get to before we wrap it up for the day. AJ, can you, I don't know if I saved it over there, the Balogun clip. If it's over there, let me know. If not, we can get to it in the next segment. Because Flo Balogun, I told you yesterday, he signed with Clutch. He's doing interviews now. He's a breakout star for the United States men's national team. Part of it is because of his performance, and part of it is because of the red card being rescinded. But that has been a topic of conversation. Of course, the news networks jump on it because of the association and the mention of the president and his alleged involvement in getting the red card rescinded. But Flo was on a CBS morning show discussing several things. But here's Flo with Gayle King on the subject of his red card being rescinded.
And once the president got involved and made the call and then it was reversed, were you thinking, yay, this is good? Or were you thinking, I don't know if this is such a good thing for the team or for myself at this particular time, because then that turned into a whole nother layer of controversy.
My initial reaction was, you know, I was happy to be back in the team.
Yes.
But when I kind of started to reflect, I knew it was going to cause a lot of controversy. And I could almost see within my teammates a bit of nerves, because it's something that's so unique. Mm-hmm. But the closer we got to the game, I tried to just focus as best as I could.
Yeah.
But it was difficult, you know, a lot of outside noise.
New York born, but London raised. That's where that accent comes from, if you're unaware. Started in the Arsenal Academy. And if you don't know the story, recruited by U.S. fans, because if you're born here, you got a chance to play for the team. Was so overwhelmed by the campaign that he decided, I'm going to play for the U.S. national team. He had the ability to play for Nigeria and also for England, decided he felt so welcomed by the U.S. fans that he would play here. And it led to a good tournament for him that ended in a very weird way. And you heard him talk about it. I didn't want to believe that the team was so negatively affected by the events surrounding his rescinded red card, but the man tells you there that the team felt the noise and maybe played in a way that reflected that, which is unfortunate, but also on them. I'm not going to use it as an excuse. It may be a reason, but they played poorly no matter what the reason is, and that's why that 4-1 loss hits so hard for some people. People's decided they wanted to care, and the minute they decided to care in a real way for some people, you got that awful performance. An embarrassing one for the players and a disappointing one for everyone who was rooting them on. Even if you didn't have expectations beyond the Belgium game, because Spain was on the other side, we'll see how good Spain is. That one should have been one where whether you lose close or you win, a better effort. And that's a big thing for me. I'm not saying effort as far as trying, but the execution of the plan and playing to your best abilities wasn't there. Wasn't even close. Belgium may still win the game. They may have just been a better side that day, or just overall. But we didn't even test them, and it has led to some of the conversations about what's next and whether Pochettino will be back. There's a big article on ESPN.com right now about potential replacements if he is someone who doesn't take the deal from the U.S. Soccer Federation, as we found out that was put on the table as everyone was excited about the possibility of a deeper run. Now, the question is, does he still want to be here after the flameout? Kind of how it works. You lose in that way, or you get knocked out earlier. What felt like a lock if he wanted the job now feels like people are like, I was sure. He's a manager of one of the more embarrassing moments in U.S. soccer history, as considering the expectations and the hope that was on display. Do we really want him back? I would like him back. I would like to see him get 4 years to see if he can put something together with a squad that he builds from the ground up, whether he goes with some old standbys or goes with younger players and allows the four-year cycle as a developmental cycle to get guys ready for a 2030 World Cup. But that is still to be debated. The World Cup isn't even over yet, so we'll see how it goes. All right, we'll go to break. The number is 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olivea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olivea.
So as I talked about, sometimes baseball trades, they come out in drips and drabs where you're not sure what's happening in totality. Turns out Colton Gordon's going with Lance McCullers too, according to John Heyman. So McCullers and Colton Gordon go to the Brewers. Still have not heard what, if anything, the Astros are getting back. Maybe it's out there. I just haven't seen it yet. So Adam Wexler has this in regards to this trade. The Astros' top five pitching prospects in 24 were Eric Geddy, A.J. Bluba, Jose Fleury, Colton Gordon, and Jake Bloss. So Gordon and Bloss no longer part of the organization. Eric Geddy, his ERA currently is 4.53 in 51 games. Gordon, before he left, was at 5.9. Jake Bloss only pitched three games here, so be it. And then Blue Ball, the guy who I saw mentioned in potential trade conversations as well last week, has the best ERA over 47 games. It's at 3.03. Those are your top four guys, or top five guys from 2023. And I bring that up specifically not only with the trades happening, but I got a call yesterday from someone asking about the Astros shortstops that they drafted. He didn't get on because we were closing the show out. I believe his name was Travis. This is why the baseball draft is one where I think to myself, give me 2 years, 3 years before you ask me about any real analysis, because some of the Astros' top prospects, pitching prospects, including Eric Geddy, was their third overall prospect, period, in 24. Blue Ball was eighth. Gordon was 10th. And some of these guys, we still wonder if they're major leaguers. Like, Eric Geddy had a moment this year, but for the better part of his career, as the numbers tell you, this is a guy who you don't know what you're going to get. He has been outright bad over the last month and a half. And Colton Gordon was a guy who didn't amount to much, at least as an Astro, and now he's going to get his chance with the Brewers. So while Dana Brown's first draft class in 24, he's not responsible for these guys. They just were in the pipeline at the time. Produced like, I think, actually, you know what? I think he might have drafted Jake Bloss, but he traded him. Produced at most Bryce Matthews so far. And Bryce Matthews has not contributed in a major way on the major league level. So these guys were from third to 11th in the Astros pipeline. only 2 years ago. And who do we feel the best about right now? It's AJ Blubaugh, who is a long relief, middle relief type right now. You get less bang for your attention when it comes to the MLB draft, at least early on. And will Dana Brown even get to see the fruits of his labor, at least as an Astro employee? Feels unlikely as this season continues to play out. Okay, I mentioned earlier that Kevin Durant popped out. He was at the All-Star game. He was asked about the Jaylen Brown trade. He was asked about LeBron James. He gave basketball answers. He said LeBron's going to ball out wherever he goes. And if you're asking him a basketball question, he's good with that because you're allowing him to give his opinion. But if you give an opinion on basketball and you happen to fall into the category of someone he doesn't respect, he's going to let you know. And two guys who have fallen into that mix are Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright. So these are take artists. Like, their job is to say things to inflame, to get you thinking, to get you paying attention. And that is a particular brand of media that Kevin Durant doesn't like. And he thinks those two, if they remove themselves from basketball conversations, the sport as a whole would be better. As a whole. If you got Cowherd and Nick Wright out of here, basketball would be in a better place. You know what? If I was Kevin Durant, whatever you think about those two, can you tell your brethren in the league to stop talking about how far millions of dollars don't go? If he wanted to help basketball as a whole, can you ask the guys who sit down for a podcast? And the latest is, who was it? Now I think of it, because I'm getting confused, because CJ McCollum was on television, I think either on for Forbes or talking about Forbes, and he got called out for talking about his – actually, it's not even just basketball. I'm getting confused. It was him, and then I saw Odell do it too, where he was talking about how a five-year, $100 million contract isn't as much as you think. It doesn't go as far as you think, which no one wants to hear. CJ was a little bit more reasoned. Of course, he couldn't avoid getting attacked for ruining the CBA. He'll never live that down. People are just going to kill him. But the players have to agree to that as a whole. He's a representative, but he doesn't just do that by himself. But either way, he was on. He talked about how his first year in the league, the money he got didn't go as far as you think, because some had to go to his agent. Others had to go to his handlers. Not handlers. It was other people in the circle who helped him get on as a young NBA player. He just talked about everyone takes a cut. The conversation centered around his $2 million salary as a rookie, because I think he was a first-round pick, right? And it was the $2 million salary. The guy says $1 million gets chopped off for taxes and fees. He said he lived off a $12,000 energy drink deal. People are like, what are you talking about? First of all, stop talking about this, but what are you talking about? He went on to explain. After he was called out, he quote tweeted it and said this: I didn't get any of my money until the season began. So when I say I lived off $12,000, it's because that's the money that actually came to me. I didn't get started getting game checks until this point. So he was more reasoned while he was talking about it. And he said it as a rookie before the money started coming in officially. So he tried to calm everyone down because they attacked him. It doesn't help that he was talking about it, because it's been a summer of guys who have made millions and millions of dollars telling everyone how hard it is to keep that money or at least extend that money over the course of a career. It's not as much as you think. It's just a bad approach. Don't tell people half of your guaranteed money was taken and it's still like $40 million. No one wants to hear it. But yeah, CJ said he had to live off the $12,000 until November. I did not know that was the case, that a rookie didn't get their money, because I thought they had, I don't know if you call it a signing bonus, but guaranteed at signing. I guess I'm thinking more about the NFL and baseball, what happens. But, yeah, he said he didn't get his cash until November, and he was explaining that. But he also said, yes, don't feel bad for us. We make plenty of money. So his position was, I just laid out the reality, but I wasn't rolling in it in between when I got drafted and when the checks started coming in as a rookie. He said two bands a month was what he was doing, which is fine with him as a young guy, but I'm sure it was just an asked and answered segment that got clipped, and now you got to answer for looking like entitled and ungrateful. But his reasoned approach is coming after Odell Beckham talk about $100 million deal not being what you think it is. Whether it be lack of self-awareness or, hey, they live a life and they're talking to people who live the same life. And while, sure, it's a private, you think it's in the kind of a private conversation, there are cameras on you and you're talking to a microphone. So you're talking to, whether it be Carmelo or another, or whether it be an NFL star or another NBA player who knows what you're saying because they've lived the same life. No one wants to hear you talking about, even if you're doing a good thing for your mother. If the home is $2 million, perhaps maybe we hold off on the $2 million home if, as I think it was Odell said, yeah, you know, there's some flossing to do as well, and that leads to some of the money going away. It's not a great conversation to have for them. They can have it. Nothing's really going to happen to them. But perception sometimes is that these guys are entitled and ungrateful. And nothing that is said about, I made a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too, is going to help that cause. And CJ McCollum is the latest to catch it. Although I don't mind his so much. It was in a business setting, talking about money and saving it in the right ways of going about it. Because that was like the entirety of the interview. How to make your money work for you as opposed to you working for it. But, you know, you get clipped and then you got to go on Twitter and answer the slander. Someone wanted to call in about Lance McCullers. I didn't see your name. If you want to get back in and talk about McCullers, you can. Big news, McCullers, now a Brewer. His Astro career is over. We're one segment away from wrapping it up. We'll get to that segment when we come back.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the context of Kevin Durant wanting Cowherd and Nick Wright out of the way was, there's a graphic that he posted on his Instagram about who has to go. And it's a lot of NBA pundits, early sports pundits. It had Charles Barkley, Shaq, Stephen A., Shannon Sharpe, Skip Bayless, Nick Wright, Cowherd, Kellerman, and Perkins, and he said, pack that lame Colin Cowherd up. And then he goes, you know what? Basketball would actually move forward if Nick Wright wasn't involved. Hold up. So he initially was like, Cowherd has to go, and then, hold on, wait a minute. Is that Nick Wright on the graphic too? You know what? Now that I think about it, and you know his back and forth with Kendrick Perkins, and even with all that, former teammate Kendrick Perkins, get Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd out of there. Kevin Durant out and about in Philly and using social media to attack people. Where have we seen that before? Okay. We got a couple more minutes before we're done for the day. And then Rich Eisen is up next. And then it'll be Will Kunkel and Joe George. Joe George hosts an Astros-specific podcast. So you imagine, along with Will, they'll have their thoughts on the end of the Lance McCullers era here in Houston. Not everyone gets a big moment. Like, Yordan has a home run against the Phillies. Altuve, over the course of his career, has many moments. Lance, for as much as the last couple years have been disappointing for him and us. He'll always have the 24 in a row, the 24 curveballs in a row. That's his. It is a moment in Astros history as the Astros are on their way to winning their first ever World Series. He's going to have that. He's going to take that with him, and we'll keep that with us because of what it meant and what he did. So he's got one of those that no matter what Astros retrospective there is when it comes to the history of this team, that moment is going to get a mention if the retrospective is done right. If you're putting together a history of Astros baseball, Lance McCullers will take part in that and play a memorable part in that, and has played a memorable part in that. So simply wanted to acknowledge what he did, even though he will now try to get back on track in Milwaukee, who decided, hey, I know that Astros pitching staff isn't good. Let's take two of them. And that's for a team who's leading their division. I don't know what they see, but I think the Astros, if they come out and say it, I would be surprised. But that's a move that, look, we've paid almost a full freight of Lance McCullers' salary over the last several years. Someone has decided they want to take some of that on. We're happy to do it. Happy to oblige. So that wraps up the Lance McCullers era here in Houston, it feels like. We'll see if he becomes someone we're watching in October because he's wearing a Brewers uniform. That'll be odd. Like, we've done it with several guys over the course of Astros baseball here because the talent leakage has been a consistent theme, and it's led to seasons that have become less and less gratifying, and certainly we've seen the decline from ALCS against the Rangers to 2024 losing to the Tigers in a wild card round, to last year not making the playoffs and being several games below 500 at the end of the first half. But whether it be Correa, Bregman, Springer, and then Kyle Tucker previously, then you throw in Gerrit Cole as well, those guys in some way were at the top of their game. I did not think someone would trade for Lance McCullers. Not a good baseball team, but here we are. Hopefully he can help. And they play in the National League, so it doesn't really affect us. It's better them than, let's say, I couldn't imagine the Mariners or the Rangers doing it. It's better them than the Yankees or anyone else who thinks they have hopes at winning anything this year. Let it happen in Milwaukee. We can't be bothered by that. That's the thing. For the most part, yeah, Bregman spent that year in Boston. For the most part, the guys that have left, they showed up in inoffensive places, and then Kyle Tucker showed up with the Dodgers. He's not played well there, so take heart in that. With the Cubs, sure, that was a thing before, but NL team, not a big deal. I think Kyle Tucker's the one. The long-term deal with the Dodgers. That's the only guy, if you're in the mind to dislike a guy because he left and picked a different team. Kyle Tucker being traded to the Cubs, not his fault. Choosing the Dodgers, completely his fault. And at the moment, if you want to love a little schadenfreude, not going great for Kyle Tucker in L.A. We'll see if they turn on him as the season goes on, and when they make the playoffs, and if he's bad in the playoffs like he was for the Astros, we'll see if Kyle Tucker enjoys his time in L.A. All right, we're done for the day. Thanks to AJ. He'll be here tomorrow, and on Friday we're at East River 9. Well, I will be. AJ will be back here. The entire station will be at East River 9. I don't know what, is it another major, or are we just out there? I don't know the golf calendar. I think we're just out there. Lance will be, I will be, John won't be, because he's cosplaying as a golfer this weekend. Him and his buddies are going to play golf, and that means not working. It is what it is. AJ, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
What did I play the it's funny to hear females talk about Rouse for? What was that early on the morning show? I forgot. Oh, it was Josina Anderson talking about soccer and everyone attacking her. Not because she is a woman. Well, maybe some people did that, but it was an American trying to change the rules of soccer. Never goes well. Never goes well. We'll see who joins Spain in the final. 2 p.m. today, Argentina and England. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.